Support for Kani Kapila Vintage comes from Manu Healii, celebrating Hawaii's culture and heritage for 41 years. From its craft fair origins to a multifaceted creative company, Manu Healii has grown to a family business with artists designing apparel and accessories inspired by Hawaii's culture, colors, and lifestyles. Discover their collections at manuhealii.com.
Aloha, everyone. I am D.W. Gibson, and this is the first installment of Hawaii Public Radio's Kana Kapila Vintage Edition. We have reached deep into the archives to introduce a new wave of listeners to the live jam sessions and musician interviews featured on Kana Kapila Sunday in years past. And we want to give our longtime listeners a chance to revisit some of their favorites. I'm here to introduce the host of the show, Derek Malama, someone who is already well known to many Hawaii Public Radio listeners. Derek started Kana Kapila Sunday in 2002, and over the course of the nearly 20 years that he hosted the show, Hawaii Public Radio amassed a trove of material that now serves as a chronicle of Hawaiian music at the beginning of the 21st century. The preserved archives now include nearly 70 episodes over the course of a decade, and we are adding more material as it's discovered. But before Derek dives in, it seems like a fun idea to get some history from him and hear how the show first came about. So stick around. We'll be right back to help the one and only Derek Malama kick off the first installment of Kana Kapila Vintage right after a quick break. You're listening to episode one of Kana Kapila Vintage Edition. I'm D.W. Gibson, and I am joined by Derek Malama. Aloha, Derek.
Aloha, D.W.
So I am so excited to talk to you about this show. It has been quite a treat for me getting to listen to some of these older interviews you've done from decades ago. I would love to hear from you. Where did the idea for Kana Kapila Sunday start?
The show was actually part of another show called The Music of Hawaii, and that was hosted by Keith and Carmen Haugen, the husband and wife duo.
Wow.
They were musicians.
Yeah.
And they wrote songs as well. And they had a show on Sundays here on HPR from 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
And they were doing it for a while. And Keith decided that he wanted to stop doing the first 2 hours of his show.
Yeah.
So our general manager back then, Michael Titterton, he called me up to his office to ask me if I was interested in hosting a Hawaiian music show.
What was your first reaction?
I said, sure, yeah. I say yes to anything, you know? And first, we had to come up with a title, so I asked around. I went and asked some people, and one person said, oh, why don't you just call it Hawaiian Music Sunday?
That's pretty straightforward. Probably something more exciting available.
Yeah, I know. So I toyed with some few ideas, and eventually I came up with Kani Kapila Sunday that had a, you know, Hawaiian part to it, and then you know what day it's on.
Exactly.
Right. So I came back to Michael and said, how about that? And he goes, oh, yeah. You know, rolls off the tongue.
And Kana Kapila, this word that essentially means jam session, right?
Jam session, or literally play music. Let's play music, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I do.
Which also comes into play with so many of your interviews, so many musicians talking about the importance of jam sessions throughout their careers. So something that listeners will be hearing a lot about, I think.
Very good.
Did the show change? You did it for over 20 years. Just about 20 years. That's a long time, 2 decades. Did the show change over the course of that time?
The format remained the same. The songs changed and the interviews changed. Whenever there was an up-and-coming artist, I made it a point to talk to them and some regulars too. Right now, off the top of my head, I remember Jeff Peterson. Mm. When I first met him, he was performing at a concert at the old Academy of Arts, now the Honolulu Museum of Art, and he was performing with a guy named Riley Lee, who plays shakuhachi.
Hmm.
Japanese bamboo flute.
Right.
So they were playing together, and they made me. They didn't make me. I have this thing about hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I host the Morning Edition, but standing up in front of an audience and introducing people,
different ballgame.
It is. And I ended up doing it a lot here in the Atherton studio while I hosted Connie Kapila. That was actually the hardest thing that I've done, is because I'd rehearse all day at home.
I'd love to have that video footage, some old archival video footage of Derek Malama's rehearsals for the live events. That's very sweet that you did that.
I'd rehearse practically all day. I have a piece of paper in front of me and, you know, imagine myself in the front of the audience and trying to memorize exactly what I'm going to say. And then when, you know, showtime came, I'd go up, stand up in front of the audience and completely forget everything.
Maybe buried back there in the subconscious, guiding you along. All your hard work paying off, I'm sure. I'm sure audiences didn't walk away displeased. But you're pointing out it's a totally different ballgame standing in front of a live audience, ready to hear an actual Connie Kapila session, some playing, as opposed to being in a studio with an intimate sort of one-on-one conversation. That's very different.
Yes, it was. So somehow I was able to get through it, through all of those concerts. But what you're going to hear in these interviews is different, because the artists came to the station. So it was just me and the artists, and we were talking. We would talk, and they would play and talk and play. I'd try to get 3 songs out of them. That was my plan. And thanks to my engineer back then, Jason Taglianetti, who did a great job, set up the mics and the instruments. I mean, he just knew exactly what to do. I credit him with the quality of the audio that you're going to hear.
Yeah, and there is a great fluid quality to the shows that you're describing there in terms of conversation and song, sort of swimming between those two things.
Yes. I tried to prepare as much as I could. I hope that comes through. I'd write down as many questions as I could.
And of course, you can't always plan for the craziness of musicians and things they throw at you. Because I can hear in some of these episodes, they catch you off guard with some of their questions or songs they decide to start improvising.
Oh, yes.
So all these sort of moments, you know, so you can plan as much as you want, but then the musicians are going to do their thing as well, I think.
That's right. So I learned a lot from them, and I'm just happy that I was able to meet a lot of them, because had it not been for this show, I would not have had them come into the studio, and I would not be, relating to them.
Yeah.
I mean,
and giving all of us the opportunity to relate to them, right? I mean, you had a very special experience getting to engage these musicians in such an intimate way, and then it's shared with all of us, so we're all the beneficiaries of it. It really does work out that way.
Yeah, that's right. The audience, yeah, you're experiencing what I am.
We are your fly on the wall. Did you grow up listening to Hawaiian music?
Yes, and I thank my mother for that. She would always have it on in the house and in the car. I remember this one time, she would drive me to school. I think I was in the 3rd grade. And right as she dropped me off at school, the DJ for KCCN, 1420 AM, all the radio stations back then, this is the 60s now.
Nice.
Were on AM. So the morning DJ was Crash Kealoha. And right as I got out of the car, Crash K Aloha wished me, Derek Malama, a happy birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a treat.
It is. And I'll never forget that. So I think that's one reason why I'm in radio now. It just made me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And now I get to say other people's names.
Exactly.
In the news and, you know, prior I did it in music and meet them and talk to them. So I thank my mother.
Everything leads back to her.
I know, leads back to her.
So almost 20 years, lots of recordings over the years. When you think back to hosting ConocoPhillips Sunday, are there certain memories that stand out for you, certain shows or guests?
Dennis Kamakahi comes to mind because he always liked to dress in black and wear a cowboy hat. I mean, he was always dressed to the nines. I don't know if people are familiar with. Go look at a Dennis Kamakahi album.
Mm-hmm.
But he would perform here at the Atherton. And I mean, I'd never saw him other than in black in that costume. And he would talk about how many songs he's written. 500, you know.
Mm-hmm.
500 songs. But they were great songs, right? Puahone, Wahine Ilikea.
Mm.
So I always enjoyed when he performed here. And I'm sorry that he's no longer with us.
Yeah. You know?
Well, another person who's no longer with us, who's also from the Sons of Hawaii, is Eddie Kamai.
Mm.
And I believe we're going to be carrying an interview with him sometime in the future.
And he's a name that gets brought up by others in appreciation.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
As an influence. And a person who became, like I mentioned earlier, a close friend of mine over the years. And I have a lot of interviews with him, Jeff Peterson, on slack key guitar. And I still play his music to this day on Morning Edition. Other people like Robi Kahakalau and Daniel Ho, the Grammy winner.
Yeah.
He was on the show and he played in the Atherton as well.
Good names, really good names over a lot of time there. And you mentioned that you still play some of these folks on Morning Edition. You get to still sneak in a little bit of the Hawaiian music experience, even though you've given up ConocoPhillips Sundays. But I wonder, you know, over the span of time that you've been familiar as a listener with Hawaiian music, as a kid in the car with your mom, decades doing this show, and even now as you continue to listen to music, talk about how traditions within Hawaiian music have changed or what stood out to you about that breadth of time.
Well, the big change is actually on the business side. Everything used to come out on CD, but
that word comes up, I have to say, a lot in these recordings. I kept hearing the word CD. We might have some young listeners where we have to have a little asterisk.
What is a CD? So that's, I know, it was a big time. I mean, down the street from Hawaii Public Radio, there's a big Tower Records. If you remember Tower Records.
I've seen pictures of that Tower Records.
Yes. Oh, you have?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would go down there often just to see what the latest music is. Yeah, I miss that place.
That tactile experience, that browsing experience. Right,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the main part. I mean, the music is out there, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as prevalent, in my opinion, as it was back when I was doing it. And yeah, it's all about business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a moneymaker anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, is there anything else about the show that you think is important for listeners to know, maybe especially those who might be new to the show or newer to Hawaiian music? Anything that stands out to you about the show you want to make sure our listeners know?
I had a lot of fun doing it. So originally it was a 2-hour show, then it became a 3-hour show. And that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of show. A lot of show.
Yeah, and I did it myself. I would pick out the songs, write it down on a playlist by hand, type out a script. I would have all these descriptions, these 3-line descriptions of all the songs that I played based on the liner notes from all the CDs. And it came up to, I'm just guessing, but several hundred, you know, song descriptions.
Yeah.
that I still have somewhere filed away. So that made the show. That's what I wanted to do, is explain to people what every song was about, because I wasn't hearing that anywhere else on any other radio station. They would just play the song and then talk about whatever the next song, but they wouldn't tell me the story of the song that I had just heard. I wanted to do that to explain that to our audience.
Yeah, the context, give audience context. And I think that, you know, even today at HPR, we pride ourselves on the robust musical programming we have, and we use this phrase often, hand-picked selections, right? And I think you're talking about one of the early original iterations of that here at HPR, this care with which you approach each show and the context you wanted to deliver to your listeners.
Yes, curated.
Well, we are the lucky beneficiaries, and I am so thankful to you, Derek, for talking story. And I know that listeners who love the show, you know, might not have some of this history, and it's a nice way of setting up the first episode of Kanakapila Vintage Edition. You want to take it away, Derek?
Happy to. DW, mahalo. We are kicking off Kanakapila Vintage with my 2004 interview with the Brothers Casimiro. The brothers had just released a new album titled Some Call It Aloha, Don't Tell. So we get to hear a few tracks from that, and we get to talk about a few things, including Kalihi, the Oahu neighborhood where I grew up, and so did the Casimiros. And this show stands out not just because it's the Brothers Casimiro, winners of 25 Nahoku Hanohano Awards, but also because it's one of the sessions we were able to record in the studio of the Mountain Apple Company. That's the music label founded by John DeMello in 1977 during the Hawaiian Renaissance. And the first song we hear the brothers sing is Honolulu at the Crossroads. It's a song that Robert Casimiro wrote, and it's one of my favorites from the album. I'd already been playing it quite a bit on the show. So here is my 2004 interview with the Brothers Casimiro.
We're in the magnificent state-of-the-art studios here at the Mountain Apple Company on Kanakapila Sunday, and here are the Brothers Casimiro.
You'll be kissed and be welcome home, Honolulu. I embrace you at the crossroads, Honolulu. Captivates me. Every day finds a way to remind me of Honolulu in the glow at the cross.
the brothers Casimiro on Connie Coppola Sunday on KIPO, and you picked a song that I've been playing on the show.
The Honolulu?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice song. We like that song.
Yeah. And the album is, some call it Aloha, Don't Tell. Now, how did you come up with this title? Because it always, it's curious to me.
I wrote the lead title, Some Call It Aloha, and Don't Tell means, you tell them, Robert.
Don't Tell is actually from a cut on the album that in Hawaiian it's called Mai Ha'i A Ha'i. We'll be playing that today as well. It means don't tell. So we just chose the titles from two of the songs on the album in order to create the title for the album.
Oh, okay.
Keep you guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me guess.
Actually, you know what it is? It's like when you're a kid, you know, don't tell anybody. And by the time you finish telling one person, everybody knows. So it's, you know, like, don't tell, but before you know it, it's out. Everybody knows about this album. Some call it Aloha, but don't tell.
Okay. Speaking of, you know, small kid time, we're both from the same neighborhood. We're all from the same neighborhood.
Kalihi, forever.
Kalihi, yeah. I lived a little further down Camphor Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
St. John's Church.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you hit the freeway...
Yeah.
The fence, and you go all the way to the
Oh, I know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that.
Near the old Kodama Nursery.
Yeah, we lived in the Kodama Nursery.
No kidding.
See. At the last house at the very end of the road.
Wow.
And now you guys have been together. Well, you've recorded 36 albums.
That's right.
How do you keep up the energy, the enthusiasm? Like from the first one till this one, what's the secret?
I don't know that there really is a secret as much as there's a sense of continuation. These projects that we do on the album, as far as CDs are concerned, starting from the old days on LP and 8-track and so forth and so on, at the beginning, the whole idea of it is to make some kind of a statement, to let people know who you are. I think at the point that we're at right now, it's just, again, as I mentioned, without sounding too boringly trite, the continuation of what we have been doing for all our lives, pretty much, and the expectation that comes with what we do from the public and from this career that's chosen us.
The Brothers Casimiro are on Kani Kapila Sunday with more music now from their latest CD. Some call it Aloha, Don't Tell.
Kawahi boy, kaulu vekiu, mahaia hai kapilina
Listening to Kanikapila Vintage. We'll be back with the second half of my 2004 studio session with the Brothers Cozumero right after a quick break. Let's get back to my interview from November 2004 with the Brothers Cozumero. I asked the brothers about their recording process and why so much time elapsed between their previous album and, some call it Aloha Don't Tell. That's the album that had just been released when I interviewed them. They described how they have navigated their life in music over the years, finding a balance between work and personal relationships. They talk about the ups and downs of a long career and how they reignited their passion for their work. The brothers sing a couple more songs, including a mele that was written for King David Kalakaua about one of his favorite mysterious surfing spots. Here's the second half of my 2004 interview with the Brothers Cozumero.
The Brothers Cozumero are on Kanikapila Sunday on KIPO FM 89. It's been 6 years since your last CD. Now, is this the longest time between recordings?
I think so. Basically, it was my fault. As we were doing the album, I didn't like what was happening with the album. I didn't like the songs. And finally, Robert took a look at the songs and made a list of the what we call, you know, songs that are good, songs that are half good, songs that are okay, you know. And we started chopping away at the list. And in the time that we were chopping down the list, Robert started writing more music. And some of the stuff was good, and some of the stuff wasn't. And I stepped in and helped write some of the music to the words he was doing. And it sparked a flame again. And it's exciting when you know, you have an album that's taking so long, and you know, you're not too excited about it, and then all of a sudden you put something together and that spark happens, you know. All of a sudden, oh, a fire is going to happen, and it feels good. And one of the songs that really lit us was Ala Anuhea, which Robert wrote the words and I wrote the music.
You know, I think that Roland, in his own way, answered your question as well. What is it that helps you keep doing these kinds of things, to keep doing projects such as these? It's real easy, after you've been with it for such a long time, to become lethargic. And we found ourselves there as well. You know, as much as maybe we didn't really like the music we had chosen, the truth about it is that we chose it. And it wasn't exciting to us. And, you know, we were doing other things. We've always understood the fact that although we are committed to our work, we are also committed to our free time. And they constantly battle each other for our attentions. So, you know, who knows? The next project might take 10 years. It might take a month. What is important to us is that the projects get done. And I think that's the luxury that's offered you after you've been in this business for as long as we have, and when we've done as many albums as we have. We also have to give credit to the people that work for us and that we work for as well. You know, the patience of our manager, John DeMello, who, you know, is constantly biting at the bit for us to do stuff. Milan, who is in our, who's our engineer for the albums, who says, you know, anytime you and Roland, you just call me and come down, and we'll work on nothing or anything, up to you. When you have that kind of support system behind you, at least you know that you feel that connection.
It's hard not to love them.
Well, that's an understood thing. But you know, it also shows that we have an obligation.
Yeah.
And that no matter how much we want to be lethargic and fool around and not do anything, in the end, we must do something. And so at the ending of last year, I said, look, I'm going to just block off the whole beginning of this 2004 and let's do this album. And luckily, you know, we're at the point for all of us to rally behind that. And thus, some call it Aloha Don't Tell.
It's worth the wait.
Thank you very much. We are liking it a lot as well. Yeah.
So could we hear another song?
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to do He'eia for you, which is written for the... This song is about for the last king, David Kalakaua, and supposedly his favorite surfing spot. The question is, where is this spot, He'eia? What island is it on? We know. You've got to go find out.
CD is called Some Call It Aloha, Don't Tell, the Brothers Casimiro. Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure to listen to your music and now to have you here in person.
So. Derek, thank you so much for the music that you play and for choosing to play this and for having Roland and I here today.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
Your Sunday show, yeah.
My pleasure. Mahalo for spending time
with
us. And
what time are you on again now?
1 to 3 p.m.
Okay.
That would be morning for us.
1 to 3 p.m. every Sunday afternoon.
89.3, right?
89.3 Yeah. And
Tell them the name of your show. Tell them the name of your show.
Kanikapila Sunday.
There you go. Kanikapila Sunday.
See, and we did that right here today.
Absolutely.
So, Kanikapila Sunday.
With the heart of Kalihi.
Oh, yes. It was that energy, that Kalihi energy. That,
are you still in Kalihi or are you out of Kalihi?
I'm still in Kalihi, man.
So am I.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I remember K-Store and all that, so.
Yeah. There you go. I'll tell you. Kalihi forever. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Well, so.
Yeah, so thank you again.
Thank you.
Oh, mahalo for joining us.
And continued success.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we'd love to come back on Kanikapila Sunday another time.
Okay. And we'd be glad to have you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
This is Kanikapila Sunday on KIPO FM 89.
That was my 2004 interview with the brothers Casimiro. Roland unfortunately passed away in 2017 at the age of 67. Robert stays active in the arts, carrying on the legacy that he shared with his brother. He also recently reached a major milestone with another part of his artistic work, 50 years as a Kumu Hula. And that's a wrap on our first installment of Kanikapila Vintage, produced by D.W. Gibson. The original interviews were recorded by Jason Taglianetti. In the upcoming episodes, we've got a little bit of everything. Fixtures of Hawaiian music like Keola Beamer and Raiatea Helm, Kuana Torres Kahele, Amy Hanaialii, slack key masters, and ukulele virtuosos, as well as some of the most beautiful falsetto voices in Hawaiian music. So there's a lot to look forward to. Mahalo for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another installment of Kanikapila Vintage. Don't forget that Kanikapila Sunday lives on with Louise Kealiiloma King Lanzolati every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. So tune in live. Until next time, aloha.
Support for Kanikapila Vintage comes from Manuhealii, celebrating Hawaii's culture and heritage for 41 years. From its craft fair origins to a multifaceted creative company, Manuhealii has grown to a family business with artists designing apparel and accessories inspired by Hawaii's culture, colors, and lifestyles. Discover their collections at manuhealii.com.